Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And today we're going to start a new series that we're talking family rules, not as in rules that you need to come up with for your family, but in God's plan through the ages. He tells us that family rules or family rocks, it is through the bedrock of the family that God sends his plan of redemption. In fact, in your notes and your sermon notes that are found in your bulletin, we see that James Merritt says the New Testament is a story of family, the family of Jesus. God became a part of our family through the incarnation, God himself becoming man through the virgin birth, so that we could become part of his. And even in the Old Testament, you see that God was building a family. He was building a people to himself. And you could see the plan and the line of the Messiah coming through the family unit. And Jesus made it possible for each and every one of us to become a member of God's family. And that was only going to be possible through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son. In Luke 2:49, we find the first spoken words of Jesus while he was on earth. And it wasn't mama or dada. It was when he was age 12 on this earth. And you'll remember that Mary and Joseph had gone back to the temple and at a time of celebration, and Jesus lingered longer there, and they had left, and for 3 days they had not, all of a sudden they realized Jesus wasn't with them, and they went back, and when they said, why didn't you come with us? He said these words, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" We're going to talk today about what is the Father's business and how do we follow in the Father's business. But we know Jesus, while he walked this earth, continually talked about the Heavenly Father. He said, "The words I speak are the ones that my Father has given to me. The Father will lead you into all truth. I do nothing on my own initiative." In fact, he taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." There is a different relationship that Jesus had with God himself, and he spoke about him as his Father. But Jesus was also part of a human family. He had a human experience in that family. It's kind of neat to see on this Easter Sunday, not only to have the baby dedication surrounded by family, but just look around you and see how much family is an important part of our lives and coming together. But, you know, not all family experiences are good, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But Jesus and his family, in the family unit, experienced rejection in his family. Most likely he experienced the loss of a father in his family, because most scholars believe that by the time that Jesus started his ministry, because of the way the scripture was written, that Joseph had already passed away. And at the cross, if you'll remember, one of his words was to the apostle John that, "Take care of mom, this is your mother, and behold your son." And he wouldn't have done that had it not been for Joseph's absence. We find in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, and it's in your notes here, and you can follow along in your Bible if you'd like to, that in time in Jesus' ministry, Jesus left the part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. And the next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard them were amazed. And they asked, "Where did he get this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter." Matthew tells us that that was Joseph's profession. So Jesus, according to the custom of the day, would follow and take up his father's business here while he was on earth. Jesus became a carpenter. The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. These were half-brothers of Jesus that Joseph and Mary later had in life. And his sisters lived right here among us. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. In fact, John 7, verse 5 says that even Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. Hang on to that, because in a little bit we're going to see that the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed how his brothers looked at Jesus. But let's look at this, that the Bible describes this Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he was a carpenter. And the word carpenter means more than just someone who just works with wood. It's one who uses various materials, wood, stone, metal, and building, a worker, a craftsman, a builder, a planner, or a creator and an author of poetry that this word was used for. It's the Greek word tekton. And so what we find, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and when he walked this earth, his profession was initially as a carpenter, and he used various materials for the building of things and planning of them. Here's what I want you to think about today. Is Jesus still building today? And if so, what is he building? And what materials is he using? There are a lot of things that we know that God will use in everyone's life, and he'll use his word, he'll use truth, he'll use the church in your life. But what materials have you accumulated in your living experience that Jesus is going to use to build and to form his character in you? Because after all, that is God's plan for you, that you and I not only have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of heaven someday, but that we ourselves are formed into the very character of Christ. Jesus is still building today, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ validates and authenticates that truth. Colossians 2:6-7 says, just now as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must continue to follow him, and let your roots grow down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. One of the things we need to understand in this building process that Jesus is involved in now is that you and I have a choice in that. That's different than inanimate objects of wood and stone and steel. They don't really have a choice so much. But you and I have a will and a purpose and a plan. And we can thwart what God wants to build in us by a lack of belief. But Jesus is still a builder today. And that's what we're going to look at. This Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here are things that the resurrection teaches us then. Jesus Christ is Lord of the past. In fact, he is the Lord of your past. Jesus is the God of the past. And just because you may have a bad past doesn't mean that you are resigned to having a bad future. Jesus was building. Here's what the scripture teaches us. Jesus was building things before he took physical residence in the body of the Son here on earth. His first recorded words as a human were, I have to be about my Father's business. But those aren't Jesus' first recorded words in the Bible. You have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 for that. And the first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible were this, let there be light. Here's what the scripture teaches us. Through faith, in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the Word of God. John 1 tells us that Jesus, verse 1, was the Word. So that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, 15-16, you can look in your Bible or look up on the screen here. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavens and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Jesus was part of the Godhead. He was the perfect man. He was the God-man, and he was made flesh for us. When you think about how God framed the world, that's what Hebrews 11:3, God built this world, this universe that it is, and there are incredible complexities in our world. Just to sustain life, we are hung in space and time in perfect proximity to the sun in order to sustain life. If that was off kilter just a little bit, we would either freeze or we would burn up. You want to know some of the complexities? You begin to study the irreducible complexity of this world, and you see how fragile life is and how it was framed for it to have to be sustained. But the scripture doesn't stop there. Here's what the scripture teaches us. that the God who framed this world also framed every one of us here. In fact, that's what Psalm 139 tells us. Look at it with me. For you created my innermost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Notice this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And underline this. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is from the God, the eternal God, who always was, is, and always will be. God made each and every one of us emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally. And his plan for our lives is that we would love him with all that capacity, that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Last week, we unpacked Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. But the reality is that we all have a past, and that past includes things that we have done. That past also includes things that were done to us or choices that were made for us in whatever family that we came into this life in. It also includes things we should have done but didn't and things that we regret. Here's the problem that many people have with the past. It hurts. There's pain in the past. We just came through 3 months about talking about many of the fears that kind of hold us back and try to control our life. But the message of the God is not only that he's God of the past, but he's God of the present and God of the future. That God has this plan, and that the choice of others cannot thwart God's love for you. In fact, I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he looks at his brothers who had betrayed him and sold him into slavery. And as a result of that, he was in prison for many years, falsely accused, all the stuff that happened to him. And he could look at his brothers and said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That just wasn't hey, maybe if I say these words, it'll get put in God's word and people for years will talk about it, you know, that follow. This was something that Joseph lived. And we see that even in the way that, and the sons that he had, and the names that he gave for his sons. His first son, before he was reunited with his brothers, his first son's name was Manasseh. And here's what he said, God made me forget all the troubles of my father's household. He said, they're not going to have a hold on my life anymore. That word forget means to release or to let go. God has made me forget all the troubles of my father's household. The second son, he named Ephraim. God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Somehow Joseph knew that the hand of God was upon him. And even though some awful things had happened to him in his past, that it could not thwart the plan of God in his life. You see, the resurrection means that my past is forgiven and redeemed. Not only can I have the forgiveness of sins, and so then I can start anew, but I can be redeemed. I have been bought with a price. That word redeem means to buy out and to purchase, which means God himself now owns us when he purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13-14 says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What this means for you and I, because the very fact that we can say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is that he lives today, that he was resurrected from the grave. And it means that nothing in your life, if you'll turn your heart to him, will remain unredeemed. But you and I both know what a stronghold, what a strong grip the past can have in our life. And so I want us to have some time right now as Emily comes to sing a song called Unredeemed, to take in the word of God into your life and thank God that your past has been forgiven and redeemed. And now Christ says, I want to be the Lord of your life, which includes being the Lord of your past. Would you worship the Lord?
The cruelest word, the coldest heart, the deepest wound, the endless dark, the lonely ache, the burning tears, the bitter nights, the wasted years. Life breaks and falls apart, but we know these are places where grace is soon to be so amazing. It may be unfulfilled, it may be unrestored, but when anything that's shattered is laid before the Lord, just watch and see, it will not be unredeemed. Every choice that led to shame, and all the love that never came, for every vow that someone broke, and every life that gave up hope, we live in the shadow of the fall. But the cross says these are all places where grace is soon to be so amazing. It may be unfulfilled, it may be unrestored, but when anything that's shattered is laid before the Lord, just watch and see, it will not be unredeemed. He will wipe every tear, it will not be unredeemed. Oh yeah, yeah. Places where grace is soon to be so amazing. It may be unfulfilled, it may be unrestored, but you never know the miracles the Father has in store. Just watch and see, it will not be. Just watch and see, it will not be unredeemed.
This is the power of God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your life with Christ just doesn't start when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord, and it doesn't just carry you into eternity, But somehow through the power of God, who framed the world and framed each and every one of us, can go in and begin redeeming the past. We say here often, God doesn't waste a hurt. And some of your deepest pains will be where God does his greatest work in your life and the ministry of others. You know what Joseph said to his brothers? He says, you meant it to evil, but God meant it for good. But he didn't stop it here. He says, to save the lives of many people. And Joseph was uniquely positioned because of the pain that he had gone through to save God's plan through his people, the people that would soon be formed the nation of Israel. Here's what we know in our redemption, 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. That's from your family. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom before the world began, but now in these last days he has been revealed to you for your sake. Through Christ you have come to trust in him, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, and so now you must show sincere love to each of the brothers and sisters. Love each one of them deeply from your heart. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the past. And Jesus Christ is now the Lord of the here and now. And the resurrection validates that. He is the God of today. The graffiti of God etched on the walls of human history is not, I was here. It is, I am here. In Exodus chapter 4, you see as Moses encountered the living God through the form of the burning bush, when Moses asked his name, he says, I am. And Jesus picked up that very name. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, you'll never die. You will live for eternity. Earlier, we read about Jesus' half-brothers, four of them at least, and some sisters. And it says specifically in John that they did not believe in him. And while he was crucified, they did not believe in him. But a conversion happened, we know, in the lives of at least two of them after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. James, the half-brother of Jesus, became a leader in the early church. He is mentioned often. Paul mentions in Galatians that he met with Jesus' half-brother, James. You have his book in the Bible. It is called the Book of James. But there's another half-brother, Judas, who's referred to as Jude, and he wrote the book of Jude in your Bible. And here's what Jude writes. This is a letter from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James. I am writing to all of you who have been called by God, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. But you, dear brothers, notice this, must build each other up in your most holy faith. You see, Jesus is building something in our life, and it comes through faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do this with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. And here's how he closes out this short book. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and bring you with great joy into the glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who is alone as God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He could only say that if the resurrection had happened. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are before all time, in the present and beyond all time. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just a historical event to be observed. It is a living reality to build our faith upon. And it tells us that Jesus Christ is right here in the here and now. The word today is an interesting phrase throughout the Bible. I don't have time to read through all of this, but if you would look in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I'm going to give you the scriptures to look at, verse 8, verse 13, verses 26 to 27 and 32. I'll run through those one more time. Deuteronomy 11, 8, 13, 26 and 27 and 32. It all talks about the importance of today. Today, follow God. Today is the day that you need to obey Him. And the consequences of life, and positive consequences are blessings, negative consequences are curses, happen by what you do today. The consequences of life are dependent upon the choices that you make today. That's why part of our mission as a congregation is to honor Jesus Christ in our daily lives. We want to take it into our life. We want to take it in to our families. Walk in close relationship with God, and you'll be able to say, look what God has done. Jesus, the master builder, looked at a man who had pretty well sold out the nation of Israel, Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus as he was going through there and he climbed up, the wee little man? And when he went to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus began to have a conversion experience, Jesus said, today salvation has come to the house. What that means is Zacchaeus didn't have to work for it. Today salvation is here. Salvation isn't something you'll eventually get. It's something that God gives us now. That was the Father's business. Jesus, when he did his teaching and people were in awe of it because he spoke with such authority, he says, you know what the wise man is? The wise man in the book of Proverbs is the one who fears the Lord. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. The wise man who takes these is the one who hears these words of mine and builds their life upon them. They put their life into practice. And when the storms of life come, because we live in a fallen world, that person will stand. That is the Father's business, to build our lives upon his work. And in 2 Corinthians 6:2, says, God says, at the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. See, the resurrection means that God is with me in my present experiences. That the one who defeated the grave is now abiding in us as we place our faith in him. And Peter spoke of this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. He says that God is actively protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation which was revealed to you on the last days. One of the things that we'd seen over the past 3 months as we went through and talked about the elements of fear and faith is that fear was the most fear not was the most common command in all of Scripture. And God would often follow that up with, fear not, for I am with you. You know, there's a lot of things to fear in this world. Even the Speaker of the House this week said, the world is on fire. There are things happening in our world. But what we would say is that Christ said, in this world, you're going to see things go from bad to worse. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But take courage, I am with you. I will be with you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He can redeem and forgive the past. He is the same today. He will be with us, walking through and building on a daily basis upon our holy faith. And he's the same tomorrow, because the resurrection teaches us that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the future. He looked at Peter long before the Holy Spirit came upon him and he became the great worker, when he still had his flaws. And on Peter's profession of faith, Jesus, the master carpenter, said, I will build my church on faith like this, and the power of hell will not conquer it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, we are called to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance is kept in heaven, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. The New International Version says it is reserved in heaven for us. You see, the resurrection means that my future is certain. I can know that I know that I know, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that heaven is my ultimate destiny. First John chapter 5 says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. You don't have to work for eternal life. You don't have to hope you have eternal life. Our eternal life is based upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when he took our sin in his body onto the cross. And anyone who calls to him in faith shall be saved. You see, the resurrection means my future is certain, because if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then obviously what he said was not true. He couldn't back up what he said. But here's what he told his disciples right before he gave his life. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or dwelling places, are many homes. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then don't miss this. For I go to prepare a place for you. You have a place in God's family. You have a place at the table. Once you come to the table. And he goes, if I go, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself. Listen, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, what he told his disciples was a bold-faced lie here. And it was cruel. And you cannot leave, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, you cannot leave this sanctuary saying that Jesus was a good man. Because he was a liar. But he did raise from the dead, and there are many convincing truths that we don't have time to go in today. I've already shared just a few of them with you about the conversion of his brothers who knew that he had died on the cross. In fact, as disciples, you know, we live in a world that a lot of people die for their faith, don't they? That's not that amazing that people would die for their faith. But here's the difference between Jesus, disciples, and all the people that are dying for, let's say, Islam today. The people, the terrorists that are coming into that, they're dying because they believe it to be true. But the disciples who gave their life, if the resurrection did not happen, they would have known it not to be true, because they saw Jesus died. There is historical and biblical evidence about it. But because they saw Jesus, they were willing to give their life for it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's take it home. Let's take it into our daily lives. What does this mean? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean for you and me? Three simple truths. The resurrection means this. Nothing in my past is beyond God's grace. Nothing, absolutely nothing. The one who formed the world and hung it in space, the one who created you in your mother's womb, nothing. Now, I don't know what your nothing is. You know, you think of that word, but you think of something in your past that's been holding you back, and you put that there. That thing in my past is not beyond God's grace. Here's what the scripture tells for those that place their faith in Jesus. I am certain of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, the message of our Christian faith does not end with the resurrection. It ends that Jesus said, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, and he'll take us into his heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone and a new life has come. Nothing in my past is beyond Christ's sacrifice on the cross, the sacrifice of God's grace. Secondly, I think, here's another thing, my choices I make today matter. Sometimes we tell ourselves it really doesn't matter. What difference is it going to make? Our choices matter. That's one of the things that when you have a baby dedication, that you realize, you know, again, and I hope that all of us look at the choices that we make as parents matter to our kids. And we're not a victim of the choices of past, but God can forgive us and God can move us to make better choices today. Joshua looked at people who were making bad choices in their family, and he stands before them. He says, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you serve, whether the gods your fathers served or who were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And here's what he says, but as for me, I'm not going to be dictated by your choice. This is what my family, it's how we're going to live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the choices I make today matter. And you may have come into the sanctuary today not really knowing that you had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Word of God has said. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the first choice that you make where you say, I'm going to join the builder, the one who has formed me and formed this world and formed me into his plan. You see, Timothy Keller in his book, The Reason for God, said this, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from death. And then lastly, I would share with you that we need to follow Jesus in the family business. You see, we are made part of his family. You are citizens with all of God's people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. And we carefully join together in him, being a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles were also made part of the dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us that we are God's building. We are God's field. We are being built together in him. So before we leave today, let's just remember, how do we get to be part of God's family? It's a historical and biblical and spiritual truth that God, through Jesus Christ, laid on Jesus all of our sins, and that he died in his crucifixion, and he really died, and he was buried in the tomb. It's a historical and biblical truth that Jesus rose from the dead. But just the fact that Jesus did those things don't make us part of God's family. The Bible says we must place our faith in him. We must, in our heart, believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, here's just one of the scriptures that speak of this. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What do you believe in when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? You believe that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He redeemed us. He bought us back with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And your sin and mine was placed upon him and taken to the grave. And when he raised the newness of life, that's where the new creation takes place. For it is believing in your heart that you were made right with God, and it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen, Easter Sunday is not just a tradition. The resurrection is not just an event to be observed. It's something to be lived out in your life and something to be received by faith. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. Let's pray. If you're here today and you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, would you just in your heart pray along with me a prayer similar to this? Lord, today I don't understand perhaps how it all works, but here's what I do know. I've sinned. It's no secret. And as much as I've tried, I still sin. And I agree with the Word of God that I need a Savior. I need a power in me that is more than what I can muster up. And I believe that you sent your only Son, Jesus, out of love for me. And that you gave him to me as my Savior. And he took my sin on the cross. He was buried. And he rose again. Father, I believe and I confess and believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sin, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life and make me new and begin the building process in me today. And Lord, may I understand the choices I make today matter, not only for my life but for those around me, and I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. In Christ's name. Amen. And if you prayed a prayer like that and you ask Christ into your heart, I would encourage you, you don't have to stand up and talk to people and tell everyone about it, but I encourage you to let me know that you made that commitment. And I just think it's important that we follow Scripture and that we confess with our mouth and say, this is what I have done. Don, would you come and lead us in that Because He Lives one more time? And we'll sing testimony of who God is, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Would you